little asthma. It's normal in Auckland.
It's a room of one's own with Auckland renters advocate Celine on 95 BFM.
Morena Celine, how are you?
Kia ora. I'm all right. Yeah, not too bad. How are you going?
Good. We're getting by. And I'm pleased that we're able to bring this to people out there. We're doing a bit of a what you need to know if you're moving into a flat for the first time, or you're renting for the first time, or you need a bit of a refresher on the rules about living in a house in New Zealand, because there's lots of students doing exactly that right now. And again, within the world that is COVID at the moment, it's all so much more complicated than it's ever been before. So I'm pleased that we can do a bit of a roundup. So thanks for your contributions here, Celine. We've had many a text from listeners, and I reckon the first one that we might ask is, what would you say are some non-negotiables when you're trying to find a first flat?
Ah, okay. Yeah, it definitely feels like a back-to-basics session in a hectic time. So in terms of non-negotiables when trying to find a first flat, I feel like it can all be quite overwhelming, and obviously, as we kind of learn every Monday, there's a lot of grey area. Really, I don't really know what I'm talking about. Very few people know exactly the ins and outs of the RTA. But I would say it's important to kind of know your basic rights. So when you're looking, thinking about, there's good resources on tenancy services. So there's stuff about a checklist for first-time renters.
Mm-hmm.
So having a look at a few of those, there's a few booklets that are kind of a brief guide to renting, a few things like that, where you can just kind of have an idea of what should be provided for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would say. So understanding basically what should be provided, understanding what healthy homes has changed maybe, and then just kind of having an eye out on what's clearly illegal. So for me, it's contextual really, the non-negotiables for your first flat, and it's so hard because we don't have the power and the dynamic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So having a good idea of what you really need, what they're meant to provide, and then also another main thing I think is understanding those hidden costs.
Yes.
So that can be where first-time renters get caught out a little bit. So there's often stuff like, do you pay for the ground maintenance, or
mm-hmm.
is that already paid for as part of the rent? Are you responsible to, I had a friend who would have to clean up all the leaves in the garden because it was like thought of as their responsibility.
So there's all these kind of funny little things that come with living in a house that you sort of have to work out. Is it you or is it the landlord? And how do people find out if it is them or the landlord that should be in charge of that?
Well, that really is probably a discussion case by case.
Right.
So you're wanting to find out about ground maintenance, who's paying for water, what chattels there are, if they're providing whiteware, fridge, etc.
Yep.
So that's something you want to ask when you're viewing a property, and then you want to have all of that dictated well in your tenancy agreement. So you know what is provided and you've got it in writing so that doesn't change later on. But yeah, I think there's a lot, but I would say that's a good one there. Understanding the hidden costs and understanding your basic rights. Yep.
Before we get into another text from one of the listeners, I think it might be a good time to ask, how do you know how much you should be paying? How do you know if you're getting ripped off?
Yes, well, you can look up the kind of average price for your area as well. So that's a good thing to do, I would say. So Tenancy Services does quite a lot of information about that, because it's tricky because there's no regulation, as we know, so it's just set at market rent, and market rent is always going up in this case. But I would do some searches there to kind of look at averages for the area you're in and see if it seems outrageous for that.
Yep. You can also ask your friends or ask around, see what sort of the vibe is. It's depressing to think how much less I paid in rent in my very first flat than what I pay now. The house hasn't got that much nicer, so.
Oh.
But
absolutely.
Yes.
Like, talk to your peers.
Totally.
And see what's the going rate. So you're looking with that in mind.
Zoe, what else have we got here?
Yes, this person says, my friends and I want to find a flat. There's three of us, but it's so hard. How can we make ourselves look like good candidates for a place? Also, how do you even find a house to rent? We've been using Trade Me, but are there any other good places?
Yeah, well, I think the trouble is that it is not easy. And it's not easy for anyone. So if you're maybe flatting for the first time, or you're a student, or you're really in a tricky position. So I don't have an incredible advice that will be very hopeful. But I would say it's just about being persistent, because there's other places to look. So there's also myrent.co.nz, and then different real estate companies and kind of leasing agencies will have their own websites that often have rental sections. Then if you're looking just for a room, there's also Facebook pages, Flatmates Wanted. Again, ask around. There are more places to look, but Trade Me is kind of a well-organized place with a lot of the listings there.
Yeah.
But I think for me, it's really just be persistent. Being prepared when you go to see a flat is really good. So if you go to a viewing and you think, this could be perfect, we would love to be in the running for that, have references ready, kind of do the most you can do to really show up quickly and show you're kind of responsible. And it's been just really waiting for a situation that that works out. But also don't be afraid to, in the sense that it's kind of like a job interview for you in a horrible way, don't be afraid to be like, actually, it's also a job interview for the landlord.
Totally.
And they seem like this would be a nightmare. So don't be afraid to say no. I know it's tricky when you're precarious in the sense, but if it seems like it's going to cause more trouble, I would not engage with that.
Trust your gut. Trust
Absolutely.
Your gut.
I think
we've all learned that one the hard way sometimes. I reckon this is a good time to ask as well, what's up with references? What do you need? What can a landlord or a property agent ask of you, and what can't they ask? And also, what's up with guarantors? Because we've had this pop up a little bit in the past on this segment. If you're a first time flatter, what is a guarantor? Is it even a legal thing?
Yeah, so I'm not totally clear on the legalities of what they can ask. And I think there's been a lot of pushing in this direction where they're trying to ask more than they are allowed to. So the Privacy Commission has been doing some good work on this recently. So if you're thinking that you're being asked too many questions, I would have a little look at what the Privacy Commission is doing online, and they have a space as well where you can contribute. But they'll give you a better rundown than me about what you're able to be asked. But I would say the trouble is often that they're asking too much and you're answering too much, but because you want the flat, it's more like
you're
maybe
stuck.
Illegal.
Yeah.
But when you want the house, you kind of often do it anyway.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's kind of the same with a guarantor. Like, in my opinion, that shouldn't have to be something you do. But often when you're feeling desperate, then you might if you have the ability to get a parent on board as a guarantor or something like that, you're kind of loading your debt to try and get the flat, especially when you're young or a student maybe. So again, I'm not entirely sure about the legality of being able to ask for a guarantor. I feel like it's all in this grey area where you're trying to make yourself the most attractive potential tenant in a system that's fundamentally unequal. So that's not much information, I'm afraid, but I would look at the Privacy Commission and just check on that. And if you're uncomfortable with answering something or you feel like it's really inappropriate, there's also stuff with the Human Rights Commission where there's things they can't ask you because it is inherently discriminatory.
Let's get back to some basics here. What's the difference between a tenant and a flatmate? And if you are signing up to a lease, what should you be doing if you're signing up with a group of friends?
So this is, I think, the most important thing is understanding the difference between a tenant and a flatmate. So we use flatmate colloquially and commonly, so often people don't quite understand how it works. So we have the Residential Tenancies Act, which is what organises the relations between landlords and tenants. So when you have an agreement with a landlord as a tenant that you'll live in their property, you have a tenancy agreement. So it's anyone who's signed onto that tenancy agreement is a tenant. If you haven't signed that agreement, you are in kind of a legal relationship with the tenant as their flatmate. So basically what that means is the people that are legally liable if anything happens to the flat are only the tenants that are signed on to that document.
Yep.
So my advice really would be you can they also advise to have like a different document to work out the responsibilities and rules for everyone who is a flatmate in the flat.
Mm-hmm.
But my advice, more so than that, is to have everyone sign the tenancy agreement, and then you share responsibility. So that gives you all kind of equal legal right and amount of power in that yep. relationship, and equal shared responsibility.
Totally.
Was there something else? Sorry, what did you ask first?
And if you are signing, so if you're signing on it as a group and you maybe yeah. are doing this for the first time, you would recommend everyone signs on as a tenant. But if you have got yeah. someone maybe moving out, you need a flatmate, what's the difference yeah. there? And is there a contract for that one?
Yes. So if you're just getting a flatmate and they don't want to sign onto the residential, onto your tenancy agreement, you basically just broker them as a flatmate yourself. So the legal relationship is between the tenant and then the flatmate. So if something happens there, if there's any dispute, you don't take that to the tenancy tribunal, because it's not classed as a tenancy issue. You've got a dispute tribunal that you take it to.
Yeah.
So obviously you probably don't want to be having to go to a tribunal.
No.
and often we are quite casual, and you might be flatting with friends. But it is advised to have some kind of signed document that's a flat sharing agreement. There's examples of what that could look like on tenancy services, and it could be super simple. It's kind of just, you could just have agreeing to the amount of rent that needs to be paid,
yep.
And when, and kind of basic responsibilities, or it could be more detailed than that. But it's a good backup to have, to give you some kind of bounds to be like, this is what we expected, and we all signed it, and that hasn't happened. So that gives you a little bit more power if you're the one with the responsibility in the tenancy situation.
For sure. I reckon we've got time for one more back to basics thing here. What have you got there, Zoe?
Yeah, this person is wondering what the difference is between a periodic versus a fixed term lease, yeah. And are there benefits to either?
Yes, well, I would say we've had a lot of fixed-term tenancies, and I know that that's quite common, especially if maybe you have moved to Dunedin to study, and you often have university towns that do like one-year leases. But there's a movement really to periodic tenancies. So basically the difference is a fixed-term tenancy lasts for a set amount of time, so maybe a year, maybe two. There's no maximum length for a fixed-term tenancy, but they're often quite short. So the length that it would be is seen on your tenancy agreement. And the thing with that is that you can't give notice to end a fixed-term tenancy early. So you, as we've talked about on the show before, you sometimes have to pay costs if you want to break that and leave earlier. So you really want to make sure it's right for you before you sign the agreement. So it might be right for you in some contexts. If you know that that's the amount of time you'll be somewhere, it seems to make things easier. But often tenancy advocates advise that a periodic really has more benefits for tenants overall. So it has no end date. It just continues until either the tenant or the landlord give written notice to end it. So you've got an amount of time you need to do that before, but it basically just keeps rolling over.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that it's important to know is that once a fixed term ends, unless you sign a new fixed term, at the moment what happens is it automatically becomes periodic after a certain amount of time. So you might be on a fixed term that's coming to an end, and then it can roll into a periodic. If that's something you want to do, then you kind of just need to know how that works. But there was recently a webinar done by Renters United with advocates from the Citizens Advice Bureau and the Tenants Protection Association, and that should be on the Renters United Facebook page.
Cool.
And that's kind of a good long run through of this, because that is often a difficult issue for people to understand, especially when you're probably being asked to sign fixed-term contracts at the moment.
Totally. Well, thank you so much, Celine, for helping us wade through some of these basic but complicated questions about renting for the first time. And thanks to those of you who did send in those questions, we really appreciate you taking the time to do that. We didn't get through everything, so next week we might sneak a few more in, a couple of COVID-y ones as well. So we appreciate that, and we'll talk to you very soon, Celine. Thanks so much.
No problem. See you soon.
Ka kite.
A plague on both your investment houses.
That was A Room of One's Own with Auckland renters advocate, Celine.